Webster was astonished to see the two men. Not knowing who this P.B. Price was, Lewis pretended to be a courier delivering the phony letter from Baltimore warning Webster not to travel north. Scully took Lawton and Price to the window out of earshot, while Lewis leaned down beside Webster. "Lewis, why in the hell did the old man send Scully here?" Webster asked in a low whisper. "I don't know," Lewis replied. "I opposed it, but my objections were overruled." Webster said he would arrange for mail Scully could deliver north to get him out of town quickly. Lewis told Webster he could give Scully any intelligence he had from McClellan, who was under considerable pressure to move his forces, and Lewis would head on to Chattanooga. Incapacitated by the rheumatism, Webster did not have much to give Scully. They stayed making small talk and sipping coffee for about an hour. Webster told Price that Lewis and Scully were old friends from Baltimore. "Then, we'll go to the theater tonight," Price announced. After supper, he took Webster's two friends to a burlesque house, paying for their 50-cent tickets, and to several saloons afterward for drinks. The next morning, before breakfast, Lewis asked Scully to come to his room. Before they set out that day, Lewis, somewhat on a whim, asked his partner if he was carrying anything on him that might be incriminating. "No, I have nothing about me whatever," Scully said. "Be sure," Lewis said. "Feel in your pockets." Scully did, and found a letter from his wife in Chicago. "Great God," Lewis exclaimed. "Are you mad? That's enough to hang us both if we are arrested." The sooner he was rid of Scully, the better, Lewis decided. Around 3 o'clock that afternoon, Lewis returned by himself to Webster's hotel room. This time he found Webster propped up in his bed talking to Captain Samuel McCubbin, a detective working for General John Winder, Richmond's provost marshal general. McCubbin seemed pleasant enough, telling Lewis that he rented the room next to Webster's and had struck up a friendship with him. Lewis admired Webster's nerve, ingratiating himself into the very citadel of the enemy, he later wrote. What Lewis did not know was that the reason McCubbin had become a neighbor was that Webster was now suspected of being a spy. Winder had posted his man there to gather evidence and keep watch if anyone approached the invalid and the woman who claimed to be his wife. "I understand you and your friend came across the Potomac," McCubbin said nonchalantly. "Yes," Lewis answered, fighting to remain calm. "Have you reported to the military governor, General Winder?" McCubbin said.